Hey, hey, and welcome to this, the 4D Recruitment Method podcast with me, Jeremy Snell. Join me as we unpack ideas, tactics, and processes to help you grow your business. Hello, recruitment lovelies. Let's talk about a subject which may be an important consideration for you this year, and it's all about growth. Growth is likely to be something which is on the agenda for many recruitment businesses. And that growth could revolve around different things. Growth of headcount, growth of customer base, growth of profits. Essentially, it means something getting bigger, right? Growth. So if you have the intention to grow your business, one of the areas where growth can influence growth in multiple places is growing the number of people that you employ. Whether you're doing that through outsourcing or you're doing it through direct employment, there is an opportunity for almost every agency to be able to grow. And when I look at agencies and the journey that they go on from a growth perspective, I've worked with recruitment business owners in the very early phases of their business. So I've been engaged to work as a consultant with recruitment owners to help them to be able to build sales strategies, go-to-market processes. For recruiters who've started their own business in week one, and I've worked with the recruitment agency owners who have maturer, more established businesses that are like 30 years old plus, helping them to be able to create the right growth strategy so that they can create an event, so that they can move away from the business, and everywhere in between, right? I think the largest agency that I've worked with had 3,500 consultants, all the way down to a solo polo, trading as an independent recruiter, almost pseudo freelance, right? You may have a plan as to what you want your business to look like in the future. And if you have a plan as to what you want your business to look like in the future, then what you do today starts to create the roadmap and the foundation stones to be able to build it. Typically, I see sticking points for recruitment agencies in their growth phases that are directly linked to the number of heads that they've got. And it is so consistent how often I talk to business owners who've arrived at one of those sticking points, and they tell me, my challenge is, I'm just trying to grow, but I just don't seem to be able to break this number. I don't seem to be able to get past this level. And I need some help to work out what it is. So if I share with you those typical numbers, and I share with you a little bit of insight as to what the root cause is for getting stuck at those points, it may help you to start to think about not just your own growth aspirations, but the plans that you put in place to help you to be able to get there, particularly if your growth plan involves breaking one of those tipping points. So in order of growth, the first tipping point exists at growing to two. So when you are one person, it can sometimes be a challenge to get to two. Like the sole trader who has perhaps not quite enough confidence to go out and employ somebody because they don't feel that they have the consistency of work, the cash pot, the confidence to be able to make a commitment to somebody to join them because they want to be a good employer. And they know that they need to have some kind of sustainability to their business to actually make it a business rather than being a freelance recruiter. And sometimes those sole traders, they talk to themselves about it a lot, but they keep putting it off. They want to wait until they get to a certain stage where they have X amount of money or Y number of clients or Z events have taken place in their business. And I've met people who are at that phase who've been promising themselves that they will get to two or to three people for more than 2 years, and they've yet to make it happen. At some point, you just have to bite the bullet and make that decision and employ somebody. And when you employ that person, make sure that you've got a clear roadmap in your head as to what do I need them to be able to contribute in what timescales to start to create the value of being two, rather than feeling as though I'm now losing part of myself and I've gone from being a one person business to a 0.5 person business because half of me is now being spent working with somebody who isn't contributing anything, and now I'm 50% of my own productivity and I've gone backwards even though I've grown. So breaking one. As simple as it sounds, can be a challenge for some. The next number, which is the challenge, is number 5. And there is debate about this percentage I'm going to share. The percentage that I rock with, that I believe to be a fair indication as to the marketplace, because I think it's true, is that 85% of recruitment agencies in this country, the United Kingdom, employ less than 5 people. So that means it could be a principal and 4. Headcount is less than 5, including the owner. And so many agencies get to that point of being 5 and then struggle to get to 6, 7, 8, 9. And sometimes they get past 5 and they get a 6th and a 7th and an 8th. But then they're going backwards again because they're now losing people. So their rate of hiring is kind of in line with their rate of attrition or turnover. So they kind of get stuck at this 5 point. And I can remember vividly having a meeting with a business owner 8 or 9 years ago who told me, I've been running my agency, Jeremy, for 4 years. We never really seem to be able to get very much further in terms of growth past 5 or 6 people. And we know that the marketplace will accommodate it. I know that we've got the right desks and the technology and everything to support it. I just don't know why we're not getting there. And I'm delighted to say that business owner now has 60 people, 60 sales heads in his business. And he worked out that he was stuck at that tipping point and needed to be able to find someone who could help him to identify the right answers. So those businesses, and some businesses, I have to say, if you're listening and you're like, I'm 4 people and I don't want to be 5, and don't start to say it's because I can't get there. If I wanted to, I could. I totally believe you, and fair dues to you. If you are running a business and you are making everything that you want from it with 4 people, crack on. Like, there is a headache, right? Just on the inverse people, I'm now going into a bit of a rant. On the inverse, I know people who have 20 person recruitment agencies who make less profit measured in pounds than people who employ 3 people. So there is a vanity metric in terms of headcount. Profit is the sanity thing, right? Imagine having that headache of employing 20 people to then make less profit than somebody who has 3 people. And we'll get to why that becomes a problem. But anyway, the tipping point of 4 or 5 heads, the thing that holds people back who desire to grow beyond to 7 to 8 to 9 to 10, it's actually the quality of management, not leadership. Like, a leader is able to inspire people to follow because they've got this vision. It's the quality of management. It's how they actually go about ensuring that the standards are being upheld without it all being linked to watch what I do, follow me. Or finding themselves in the centre of the business as the principal consultant, then surrounded by 4 hungry birds who they're then feeding with jobs. And they've created a 360 consultant environment where actually everyone works as a delivery consultant because they're put on the pedestal as being the business developer. So that it is management. Management as a skill. Management as a process, which often holds people back from being able to break that tipping point of 5. Once you get past that, we're then motoring and we can get to 15. Once we get to somewhere in the region of 12 to 15, we hit another tipping point. Because this is the moment where a good manager is at capacity and they now need to have a team of team leaders, at least 1, if not 2 team leaders, to now look after the group. So the growth of that business is now linked to the quality of people who are appointed as team leaders and their ability to be able to do exactly that. To demonstrate by behaviour what it takes to be successful, to be a leader, whilst also being mindful of the need to be managing the team to make sure that everyone is doing the right things at the right time to the right standards. And there are plenty of people in recruitment who are happy to become a team leader for the pay rise, but don't really step up to the plate when it comes to either the leadership or the management. And because of that, it is that first line of management, the team leaders reporting to the business owner, that becomes the blocker. And until that business owner starts to improve the quality of those team leaders through meaningful coaching for the team leaders, through meaningful management of team leaders, by creating a set of standards for a team leader rather than expecting them to have the same standards as a consultant, growth is inhibited. And once we get that right, once we start to get those team leaders doing the right things to the right standards, once the team leaders have a set of measures in place that are metrics or KPIs or standards that are designed for a team leader and not a consultant, we can then grow further because we can bring in more team leaders. And we bring in more team leaders, we're then on the journey to getting to 30. But once we get to 30, we hit another tipping point. And that tipping point starts to cause challenges because we now need two tiers of managers. We probably need managers. So we have a business owner who has direct reports who are managers, who in turn have team leaders with clusters of consultants or delivery consultants reporting into them. And it is that second line of management that then becomes the weak point, particularly if they're non-billing. Because when you move somebody from a billing role to a non-billing role, they might end up becoming a scorekeeper rather than a manager. They might get overly involved in the day-to-day mechanics of what's happening at desks and being very operational, and lose sight of all of the strategic things that they need to be focused on to ensure that the business is going in the right direction. So as they evolve to become a non-fee-earning manager with a mandate for strategic planning and for ensuring that the organization is remaining agile for the marketplace that we are today, we're either setting ourselves up to that next phase of growth, or we're starting to hold ourselves back. And then we get that right. So we get to like 25, 30 heads. We get that manager of managers right. We then hit the next tipping point, somewhere in the region of 60 to 70 consultants. Because what happens at 60 to 70 consultants, the organization is getting obviously larger. It does mean that as it gets larger, there is likely to be more hiring to be able to replace people who are leaving. You know, if you have a 10% churn rate and you employ 10 people, it's one person a year. You start to get to 50 and 60, you've now got 5 or 6 people who are leaving every year. And there is an acceptable amount of churn, right? But that now means that you're hiring more frequently to hold a line, which means that potentially a higher percentage of people in your business at any one time would be deemed as being green or rookie. And therefore, that means you need a much stronger set of processes and standards and managers and team leaders who are far more on point with how to be able to ensure that process and standards are being delivered to create more consistency across the organization. Otherwise, you can end up with 50 people with 50 different processes as to how they do each component of their job, which then means that you have a sum of micro businesses together trying to create a single organization rather than a full organization that is set up to be able to follow core processes that define the identity of your business, standards which are set, which are managed and run by everybody in the business rather than just appointed to the managers and the leaders, and then managers and leaders who know how to hire and how to be able to develop people so that they follow those processes to the best of their ability. So it kind of starts to create this growth inhibitor that is linked to structure, process, recruitment, and people development. And once you get past that 60 point, I think you're sailing towards 100 to 120. And as we get towards 100 to 120, it's then down to the link between processes created, the adoption of technology, and the standards to which that technology is adopted, combined with the tactics that people are using to help to be able to grow their desk to become contributors. And it's once we get to around 100, maybe 75, it starts to creep in, but certainly by the time we get to 100, you can end up with a relatively small component of the team who are contributing a large proportion of the net fee income. And when you look at Price's law, So Price's law says that 50% of the contribution that takes place is likely to come from the square root of total contributors. So that means if you have 100 people who are generating 100 grand a week in revenue, probably more, right? But just to make the maths easy, 100 people generating 100 grand, 50% of that revenue, so 50 grand of it, will be coming from 10 people, the square root of 100. So you end up with a small cluster of highly performing, highly productive, high contributors, and then around that, a large mass of what we might describe as being the average to below average. So productivity per head starts to become the most important component. And as productivity per head becomes more and more important, it's then the adoption of process, technology, tactics to start to be able to ensure that we are increasing that productivity. We're starting to outperform Price's law, so we have a higher percentage of our sales force that is now in total contributing that 50% of the total net fee income. And we have less reliance on 10 people to generate the money that underwrites the employment of what might be 30 of the 90 people who aren't making up the 50% of the revenues that is generated through Price's law. So there we go, people. I feel that that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 potential tipping points. My perceptions as to what root cause it is, and certainly food for thought if you're planning a growth strategy to start to think about what do we need to have in place in terms of infrastructure, systems, and process to become the organization that we want to be. So if we have a desire to reach 120 consultants by the end of next year, we need to have created the right environment and infrastructure and grow into it rather than grow and try and build on the fly those structures and processes as we go. Because if we build it now and we grow into it, we're far more likely to break through those tipping points with a lot more ease. If you've got any questions about the things that I'm describing here, I'd love to hear from you. Comments greatly welcomed, reviews greatly welcomed, and I'll see you on another episode very soon. Thanks for listening, and remember, if there's anything I can do to help, just drop me a message.